How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, he is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled?
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you tuned in the broadcast again this time. We come to in our study to Matthew chapter 3, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 3. Verse number 13. In the previous message and broadcast, we saw about how John the Baptist came, sent by God, a man preaching repentance and faith in the Savior that was at hand, that was coming, that was at hand. He said, prepare his way, make the path straight, repent of your sins and believe and trust in him. He is the one that saves sinners and condemns sinners. He is the one that has come to be a Savior, and he is the one that is the judge. He's looking out for fruit, and fruit only is born by those that have life. Life through him. Life by repentance and sins and faith in him. He challenged the religious leaders of the day. You're not hearing the message. You haven't repented. You don't have any fruit, any works that show that you've repented. You're the same, and you're coming down here to be baptized. It's proven in this previous passage that baptism is not a savior. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior indeed. Here in verses 13 through 17 of this Matthew chapter 3, we come to a very important passage here that explains to us about the authority of baptism. And if someone does not understand about the authority of baptism, indeed they will miss the understanding about what the Lord's church is, and speaking institutionally, and the purpose of the church and the authority for baptism. The only churches that have authority to baptize are the Lord's churches. That's who he gave this unto. This is part of the Lord taking the institution of the nation of Israel and taking those keys of the kingdom, what shows forth the kingdom of God in the word of God, and transferring that to his church there that he's building in the day of his ministry. And so it's time. The Lord is 30 years old. And we read here in verse number 13 of Matthew 3, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Some 60 miles, we're told and understand. The Lord Jesus, do you reckon there was a pool of water at Nazareth? Do you reckon that there's somebody that has more authority than the Lord Jesus Christ? Why didn't Jesus Christ baptize himself? Why didn't the Lord Jesus Christ ordain one of his disciples, or one of those, of course he's most likely doesn't have any disciples yet, but just authorize somebody to baptize him? No. The Lord is following the purpose and plan that he has designed. He being God has ordained this to be from millennia before. And so John is the man that is sent to baptize by God. And so when it comes time for Jesus to begin his ministry, he goes to John to be baptized. Let's read what it says. So he goes some 60 miles, but John forbade him, verse 14, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou unto me? So it takes John by surprise too. He says, I need to be baptized by you. You want to be baptized by me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it now. Now, those italicized words in our King James translation, they help us with understanding, but I'm going to drop those this time. And he says, suffer it now. Suffer now. He said, do it. Baptize me. Jesus says, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. John, Me baptizing you is not the fulfilling of righteousness, but you baptizing me is the fulfilling of righteousness. It's the fulfilling of the plan and work of God. Took John by surprise, but John was the man sent to baptize. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. I don't think there's any sprinkling here. I don't think there's any pouring here. But I think there is immersion, like a burial. And that's what it typifies. Dead unto sin, self, and the world, and alive to Christ. The baptism also shows the burial, the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, that portion of the gospel. And when Jesus went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. So here we have God the Son saying, John, baptize me. And then when Jesus comes up out of the water, being baptized by John, the Spirit of God descends like a dove and lands on him. And we can read in the Gospel of John that John declares that this was a sign that God, who had sent him to baptize, had given him, that the one that you see the Spirit of God lighting on like a dove, he's the one that you're preaching about. He is the one that is the Savior. He is the Lamb of God. And so then we see this, the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Threefold sanctification of God. The Son is there, having come in the flesh, and he says, John, baptize me. You're the man we sent to baptize. Here I am in the flesh, and I'm starting my ministry, and you baptize me. And John suffered him. He didn't get it. He didn't understand, but he suffered him. And in that, baptism is passed on to our Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus comes up out of the water, the Spirit of God, he sanctions it. Oh, he rejoices. The Spirit of the Lord rejoices in the obedience of the God-man in submitting to baptism, scriptural baptism, the meaning of it and the purpose of it. Now, understand, Jesus has nothing to repent of. Jesus is guilty of not one sin. Having, if you will, been penned up for 30 years, he has found that spotless lamb. And even in this 3-year ministry, it's going to be declared and shown forth even further that he is innocent. He is divine. He is pure. He is sinless without one fault or even thought of sin within him. And then after the Spirit of God comes and lights on the Lord Jesus like a dove, then we hear the voice of the Father. This is my beloved Son. Who would say and make a reference to a son? The Son. The capital S Son. Well, there's no one but the Father. The Heavenly, our Heavenly Father indeed. He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He's doing well. He's doing good, the Son of mine. He's following right as a man. He's following right after the plan and order that we have determined from the beginning. That's what's going on there. And so now baptism is transferred from John, or extended, if you will, from John to the Lord Jesus Christ and whomsoever he gives it to. Now listen. You're not baptized if you don't have this baptism. It's the only baptism that is heavenly scriptural baptism. The dunking of one under the water, and many seek to do so thinking that the action is baptism, but without authority, without the transfer of authority through the Lord's churches now, because that's what's going to happen. You can go in John 3, there at the end of the chapter, and the beginning of John 4, and see there that the Lord Jesus Christ never baptized anybody. But he took of the stock of that which had been baptized by John the Baptist and started his church on this earth. And then those that came additionally were baptized by who he appointed within the church, his disciples. ultimately the apostles, did the baptizing under the authority of the Lord in that first church. And so if a church is not a descendant of that first church in Jerusalem, then there's no scriptural baptism. If there's not immersion as the pattern of the scripture, there's no baptism. If the purpose of the baptism is not to show forth the death of the individual to self, sin in the world, and being alive into Christ, if the purpose of it is to show that part of the gospel, the death, the burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the other part of the gospel being shown in the Lord's Supper, and the Lord tells us to remember his death till he comes by observing that, then it's not baptism. If it's not someone that has been saved and can give witness and testimony of that themselves, not an infant, not a toddler, but someone able to be able to understand the reckoning of God with them and to be able to repent and believe, if the candidate is not saved, it's not repentance. John baptized saved people. John the Baptist baptized saved people, and the Lord Jesus Christ and his church did the same. And so as the Lord Jesus, who is God, went and got authority for baptism from the man sent by God, and then gave that authority unto his church going forward, as is evidenced by the scriptures, if you don't have that connection to John the Baptist ultimately through the Lord Jesus Christ's first church, I'm sorry, but the scripture bears out, you don't have baptism. Now, is baptism needed to be saved? The scripture knows nothing of that. Salvation of the soul and forgiveness of sins is by repentance of sins and faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, believing in him and his name and all that it means, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Lord. He's our King. He's our Master. His name is Jesus. That was the name that the Father gave unto him. Emmanuel, God with us, is the interpretation of it. And then the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the Redeemer, the Savior, the Messiah, the Deliverer, the Atonement, our Redeemer, our Savior indeed. He is the great King. And so here we see this very plainly and have blessed understanding about this, about those things that make baptism, baptism. Authority from the Lord Jesus Christ through his churches, immersion of someone that's a believer, has been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ for the purpose of showing that salvation, not to accomplish or keep or finish that salvation. Well, see that our time has passed for now. May our Lord bless you with the good word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.